Today's daf is Chulin Daf Nun Aleph. And we are 18 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Amid Beis, the two dots, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bigdoila V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema, Fachava Miriam Basmalka Freida, and Shlomo Ben Chaya Lea. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Yenta Bas Reb Moshe. So we're moving along in Perek Elu Trefis, discussing the stomachs, Lashon Rabbim, of an animal in the context of the laws of Elu Treifas. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we spoke about the keres, or the kares. Specifically, the keres hapnimi, where the Mishnah says that part of the keres is extremely sensitive. Ad kedei kach, if there would be a nekev the size of a mashahu, that already would render it a treifa. What about the rest of the keres? What about the quote-unquote keres, not apnimi, but hachitzoyna? So the Mishnah said that's a lot less sensitive. And there the halach is, if it was nikra, roiv, of the keres, then it would be considered a treifa. So as it relates to the keres hapnimis, that's if it's just nikva. As it relates to the keres hachitzayna, that requires not nikva, nikra, how much of it has to be torn, it would have to be the majority of it. And then the Mishnah mentioned the opinion of one of the sages, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hagdoila, it's not so simple. As it relates to the keres hachitzayna, in the event that the animal's a big animal, which pasha you would think means like a shor, a big animal, so then the halacha is that as long as the tier is a tefach, that would already render it a treifa. V'haktana, and in the event that it's a ktana, then beruba, then it would be tali and rife. So whereas, according to the Tanakama, according to the Chachamim in the Mishnah, when you deal with the keres achitzoyna, we don't care how big or small the animal is. We don't care how big or small the keres is. If it's nikra ruba, it's considered a treifa, and if it's not nikra ruba, it's not considered a treifa. In the world of Rabbi Yehuda, it actually depends. Not all animals were created equally as it relates to treifas. In the event that it's a gedoyla, so then you don't need rife. Then, as long as it's a tefach, that in and of itself is going to be okay. Today's daf is going to begin with the statement of an Amira who said a little bit of a pirish into what exactly Rabbi Yehuda meant when he said Gedoyla versus Ktan. It's Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'Gedoyla V'chul. Omer Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, Omer Rabbi Lazar. Loi Gedoyla Gedoyla Mamish. When Rabbi Yehuda said Gedoyla, he didn't mean Gedoyla Mamish. So what does it mean Gedoyla Mamish? So Rashi says Gedoyla Sheb B'Gedoylas. He didn't mean the biggest animal that there is. V'loi Ktana Ktana Mamish. And Ktana doesn't mean Ktana Sheb Ktanas. Elo, so what's the definition of Gedoyla? What's the definition of Ktana? Kol Shenikra Bo Tefach. In the event that a Tefach would be torn, v'loyhavi ruba, and it would not constitute a roiv, zuhi sheshaninu bigdoila tefach. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is referring to when he says, by a gdoila, the shear is going to be a tefach. Ruba v'loyhavi tefach. What would be if roiv of it was torn and it's not a tefach? Well, that means that the keres is pretty small. Zuhi sheshaninu biktana beruba. That's what he meant when he said that in the event that it's small, it's going to be roiv. In other words, when Rabbi Yehuda said gedoyla ktana, he doesn't care so much big, huge animal versus a small animal. That's not what he is zeroing in on. What Rabbi Yehuda is trying to say is that once you have a tier the size of a tefach, at that point, it's automatically going to be a treifa. You're not going to need a roif. The whole shear of roif is in the event that the animal's so small, so that you have roif where it's less than a tefach. Al zeh nema, oh, if it's roif, you can't get this animal to be treated like a kosher animal where roif if it was already nikra. But in the event that the animal has a tier that's a tefach, and that tefach doesn't constitute a roif. Why? Because it's a quote-unquote gedoyla. Gedoyla sheb gedoylas? No, it just means it's big to the point that a tefach makes up less than roif. The whole thing could be a 2.5 tefachim, but that shear of a tefach is going to be less than a roif. The halach is that too would be a treif. So whereas according to the Tanakama, the shear is always roif, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be roif. However, to the extent that it hits a tefach, at that point, even if it's not a roif, it's going to... So the bottom line is, you can never have a tier more than a tefach in the world of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Rubav le'avi tefach pshita. So, Rabbi Yehuda said two things, right? He said, in the event that it's a gedolos, then the shear is going to be a tefach. In the event it's a ketana, then it's going to be beroyf. And Rabbi Yehuda by Yefes explained in the name Rabbi Lazar what exactly Rabbi Yehuda was referring to. So he said that the gedolos doesn't mean mamish, but rather what it means is kol shenikra ba tefach v'lehavi rubo. And what does the ketana mean? The ketana means in the event where you have a rubo v'lehavi tefach. Right? So if it's Ruba V'le'avi Tefach at that point, so the Gemara's kasha is, that part of Rabbi Yehuda is essentially the Shita Sachachamim. So that L'chura should be Pshita, why does Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes Amar Rabbi Lazar need to explain that part of the equation? Isn't that included in the Shita of the Tanakama? Now the Lashon of the Gemara is Pshita. It's Pshita, it's the Shita of the Tanakama. It's not pshita. So Rashi says it actually is pshita, the rubei kekulai. Because being that rubei is kekulai, once it's nikra ruba, at that point it's as if you don't have it. And if you don't have it, it's for sure pshita. But the Gemara's kasha is that why does Rabbi Yehuda need to repeat the ruba v'lei havi tefach part of the equation? That is essentially the shita of the Tanakama. It's pshita, and the Gemara says a very surprising teretz. I'll tell you why Rabbi Yehuda felt he had to say it. It's talking about the havet tefach b'mashal. As machlekes Rashi and Tosfos b'shem Rabbeinu Chananel had to learn pash pshan this Gemara. We're going to learn shitas Rashi, even though it's a very surprising shita. And that is, it's talking about a situation where it was a tefach b'mashal. Had there been another mashu of tir, at that point the tir would have been a full tefach. So the shear was less than a tefach. It was roiv. So, roiv, even if it's less than a tefach, rubav le'avi tefach, zui sheshoninu biktana beruba. But if it would have torn a drop more, at that point it would have been a tefach. Ma'u detema, I would have had this wild havamina, adamikru batefach le'avi treifa. Being that it's so close to being a tefach, so maybe we're not going to view it as a treifa until it tears that extra tefach, or that extra mashu that makes it a tefach. Mashmalon, that's the chiddush of rubav le'avi tefach. Even if the le'avi tefach is off by a mashu, afilu hachi, rubav le'avi tefach, that's going to be the halacha. Toi says, I never heard such a svar in my whole life. You're telling me that rubik and kuloik, you're telling me that the shear should be roiv, but you know, your roiv is so close to a tefach, you might as well round it off to a tefach. And at that point, when you get the tefach, then we'll have this conversation. Why are we talking when it's $99.99? Add a penny, it'll be $100. Then we'll have this conversation. I just can't even fathom what this svaru would be. Again, it's very inconsistent with the svaras of the way Gemaras and Rishonim and Achronim usually operate. Ayin Shom B'Toysva says the Gemara, Omer Geniva Omer Rabasri, Geniva said the name Rabasri, Nikdor Kesela, in the event that the Keres HaChitzayna has a hole, and the hole was the size of a sela, a coin, treifa would be considered a treifa. Why? She'imti matach tamid ala tefach. This is all in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Where Rabbi Yehuda holds that a tefach, even if it's less than roif, in the Keres HaChitzayna would be considered a treifa. Says Geniva in the name of Rav Asi, if there's a round hole the size of a cella, you should know that's the equivalent thereof of a cella. So you got to do a little math, pi, right? Get involved in all the geometry of circles. But the point is, if there's a hole the size of a cella, that means it's the equivalent thereof of a tefach. What does it mean, she'imti matach? If you would straighten out, if you would pull the circle and turn it into just a regular size hole, what you would end up with is a tefach. Oh, a tefach, that's considered a treifa. Amr Rabbi Barabba, Rabbi Barabba said, "L'didim mifresh l'minei de Geniva." He said, "I heard from Geniva amabor neharda." He says, "I even remember where I was. I was on the bridge that's near Naharda, and he explained to me that this mesira that he was mekabel from Ravasi Nikdara Kesela is considered a treifa. It's Kesela Kshera, yes, I mean Kesela Treifa. So even though the words sound like Nikdara Kesela Treifa, he explained to me that if it's exactly a cella, it's actually going to be kosher. If it's a little bit more than a cella, that's when you're going to have a problem. The kama yeser mikasella. How big is yeser mikasella? Now, it sounds like this shear of nikdara kasella was supposed to be explanatory, right? You're not supposed to ask on the mushel. If you have to ask on the mushel, then the mushel didn't really serve you well. But I guess if you were there, you knew what it was. But these halachas travel from place to place and from generation to generation. So maybe later Amoiram or Amoiram that lived in a different geographic area, so they heard this Nikter Kesela. Okay, so if you know what a quarter looks like, so you can be Mamcheshet. But, you know, I live in a whole different world. We use credit cards here, so I don't even know what a Sela looks. I haven't seen a coin in 10 years. So the question is, what exactly does it mean Nikter Kesela? Right, what is the definition of Sela and not Sela? Yasa Mikesela, because Kesela, we said, is really Kshera. So what is the definition of Yasa Mikesela? Rav Yosef said, "Going to island class Kashiyasa. It's a hole that's big enough for three date pits to be able to go through." Now you're gonna have to know what a date pit is, but that's for extra credit. But either way, so if it's big enough that three date pits can go through, bitzipa. Now if it has a little bit of fruit on it, right? So after you finish a fruit. Unless you really, really, really are a medaktik in Baltashchis and you know how to get every last little bang for your buck, so you're gonna have a little bit of fruit that's still gonna be attached to the pit. So if it's bitzipa, if it's still somewhat covered with some of the meat of the fruit, then beduchka. So then, as long as it can kvetch its way through, that would be the shear. But loy tzipa, and it has to be a shear where if it doesn't have any fruit, berafcha, then it's going to be able to go berafches, it's going to be able to come and go very, very freely, says the Gemara Vayta. Hemsis ubeis hakoisois. So we now turn our attention to the next two stomachs of the animal, the hemses and the beis hakoisos, respectively. So the Mishnah said that as it relates to the hemses and the beis hakoisos, shenikvu lachotz, in the event that they have a nekev, and the nekev is lachotz, meaning you could see it, mi bachotz, the halacha is that would render it into a treifa. Now, the tiny bit of background that we need to understand the hemses and the beis hakoisos for this next Gemara that we're going to learn is that the wall of the hemses and the beis hakoisos was a double wall, right? Specifically, the beis hakoisos is what we're going to focus on. So it had this double-layered wall. So when you talk about there being a hole in the wall, so you have to know, is it the inner wall or is it the outer wall? And in Svara, there's makom to say that if the hole is in the inner wall, lav dafke would render it a treifa, because as long as the outer wall is intact, so the outer wall would be a shmira, it would protect, and as a result, maybe it wouldn't be an issue. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, machat shenimtzas b'ayvi beis hakoisos, in the event that a machat, a needle was found in the thickness of the wall of the beis hakoisos. Mitzad echad, if it's only from one side, and what does it mean from one side? It means mibathnim. If it's the inner part, ksheir, it's going to be kasha. Mishnei atzadim, if it's on the inner part and on the outer part, treif, it's going to be a treifa. Why, if it's only the inner part, is it going to be kosher? Because it has the shmira, it's being protected from the outer part. If it goes through and through, it's on both sides. So if you were inside the beis hakoisos, you would see the hole, and if I was on the outside of the beis hakoisos, I would see the hole. So if it's mibefnim, mibachutz, that's when it's going to be a treifa. Stating that, it's not always considered a treifa. There is a little bit of a analysis that you can do, a bedika, to determine. Nimtza le'akayretam, in the event that the needle had a little bit of blood on it, well then, biyodua shelifnei shechita. Then you know for sure the needle got there before the shechita. The animal was alive, hence the blood, and if that's the case, it's obviously going to be a treifa. Lo nimtzo le'akayr dam. If, however, you couldn't find the dam, then biyodua shelachas shechita, then you know what happened after the shechita, and here's the point. Even if you have a nekev on both sides, which ordinarily would make it a treifa, but if there's no blood, that's actually a simin muvik, that this took place after the shechita. If it took place after the shechita, you don't have to worry. So this is one of the interesting themes that repeat itself a lot in Perikei L'Treifas. Number one, what's a treifa? Number two, even if this is a treifa, do you know for sure it was there lifnei shechita? So that when you shechted it, you shechted a treifa? Maybe this is something that came about after the fact, right? There's so much tinkering with the animal. It's in this huge manufacturing facility, there's schlachtois. I mean, you know what goes on there? Blood and knives and screaming and koilis, and there's a lot of people working there. It's a massive plant, so you could see why things could happen after the shechita. So that's always the other question you want to ask yourself. So what the Bryce is saying is that as it relates to the definition of treifa, with regards to the beis hakoisos, it would have to be mishnei atzadim. If the hole is only on the inside, it's protected on the outside. Inside, outside, that's when you got yourself into an issue. Additionally, there is a bedika, a very basic bedika that you could do after the fact that may get you out of the situation, even if the machat's on both sides. And that is, loy nimtza le'akayretah. Because if you don't find any blood, so what do you mean? somebody punctured the animal in this way, how did it not bleed? Oh, it entered the guf after the animal was dead already. Oh, if it was dead, that's why it didn't bleed. And it's so clear, biyodua, shalach hashchita, even though we're dealing with deraisas over here, we're allowed to rely on that experiment 100%. Says the Braisa, so higlit piyamako. What would be if there was a scab that was around this area that the hole is biyodua? So then you know, not only is it clear that it happened while the animal was alive and it had the vibrancy and the potency to be able to develop this scab, but it must have been that this issue was already there 3 days prior. L'may nafkamina. Who cares if it happened 1 minute earlier, if it happened 3 minutes earlier? So, as we'll see from the next line of Gemara, it's negeya chosh mishpat. It's negeya. This is a fascinating halacha. In the event that somebody went and he bought this animal, and then he found out that it was a treifa, he might want to get his money back. In the event that he shechts it, and he finds out that this animal has a machad in the Beis HaKoses, and there's even a scab, well, that means that whatever had happened, happened already 3 days earlier. So if this buyer bought within that 3-day window, he could actually claim mekach tois, and he'd be able to get his money back. Let's say you don't have this scab. That's how you know we're dealing with Chesh Mishpat over here. How often are you going to invoke these words here in Masech Teshulim? But in that case, you would have to prove that it was there 3 days earlier or not, and assuming you won't be able to prove it, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. You're telling me now that there's this incredible, incredible kula when it comes to treifas, and that is if you see a hole and there's no blood, oh, biyadua shalach hashchita. How come I never heard about this until now? We're mamish making our way through the list of all the treifas and the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak, and this is the first time I'm hearing about it, says the Gemara. Why is it that when it comes to all the other nekavim, no one ever heard such halacha? In other words, the afak after lekadam tarif mar. Even if there's no dam, but mar, the Rebbe, whoever the Rebbe is, right? It's not clear who's asking this kasha. It's just a stam braisa with a stam Gemara. Stam Gemara's Rav Ashi. See toisvis that beis on beis. But the bottom line is, maishno mikol nekuvi dealma. How come Dafka, when it comes here, do you have this halacha? Tomorrow says, I'm going to tell you why. Hassam, when it comes to other nekavim, like a midi lemisrach, there's nowhere for the dam to go. So you want to know why you don't see dam? Where do you want to see dam? On the walls of the animal? You want to see it in the fats of the animal? You're not going to find it anywhere. Hach, over here, kiven the ikka machat. We're dealing with is a machat. Oh, isa de koidim shchitu misrach habisara. Here you're dealing with a needle. The needle would have a little bit of blood on it, some dried out blood. So, enochinami, when you're dealing with a nekav that involves a machat, so then it would be true, which is exactly what this Bryson is talking about, a regular nekev in the reya, or that doesn't involve any physical matter for the blood to be able to plant itself on. So over there, there wouldn't be any simen one way or the other. Only Rav Safra la Abaya. Rav Safra told Abaya, Chazi Mar. So now we know who Mar is, right? Rav Safra is talking to Abaya. Abaya is the Rebbe, right? The word Mar in Chazal means Rebbe. So Chazi Mar, Rav Safra tells Abaya, take a look, Rebbe. Haitzum Rabbanot Asma Marav. There's a certain younger man, he came from Eretz Yisrael. For Amar, and he said, Rabavir Shmani. He said, my name is Rabavir. For Amar, and he said, Maisel was a story of Balafnei Rebbe. Machat Shen Imtzes, Bevi Beis HaKoisis Mitzadecha. That all of a sudden, a machat, right, a person carrying the machat, that was in the walls of the Beis HaKoisis, only on one side. You're only able to see me Bifnim. It walked in to the Beis Medrash of Rebbe, and Rebbe took a look at the Beis HaKoisis for Tarfa, and he said, it's a treif. Now, when Abaya heard this, Abaya wanted to meet this person. He wanted to get a little bit more information. So the Gemara says, Shalach le. So Abaya sent for Rabavira. Rabavira did not go to Abaya. So Abaya says, okay, Yagati umatzasi tamin. Sometimes you have to follow the halacha if you want to be able to get what it is you're trying to get. So he goes to Rabavira and Havakoya Igro. And when he came to Rabavira, right, they told him where he was staying. He looks up and Rabavira is standing on the roof. Omar's Habaya tells Rabavira, Nechos Mar Venesi, can you please come down? I want to talk to you. Lainachas, he says, no, I can't come down. So Abaya said, no worries. So Abaya starts, you know, climbing the ladder or climbing the steps. He goes up, Amar Le, and he looks at him, and he says, I have to ask you a question. Says, okay, you know, am I in trouble? Is everything all right? Says, yeah, it's fine. Emily Gufa de Uvda Hechahava. I heard from Rav Saf, from my Talmud, that you told him over a story that there was a machat shenimtzes ba'ivi beis ha'koisis mitzad echad. You were only able to see it from the inside, and it appeared in front of the great Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, the tarfa, and he said, it's a treifa. Can you give me a little bit more information? Amalei. So Rav Avira said, yes. Mafter knesias ana. He said that I'm a mafter knesias. Rashi says that he was somebody that used to, you know, take care of the Talmidim. I spend time in the Beis Medrash. Le'elam Rebbe Rabba. And I worked in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. V'hav Rav Huna Tzipayra v'Rab Yoisi Mada Yoishvin Lefanov. And Rav Huna Tzipayra and Rabbi Yoisi Mada, they were sitting in front of him. Ubas Lifnei Rebbe Machat Shanim Tzipayvi Beisukam Tzad Echad. And this exact story happened. V'havcha Rebbe. And what Rebbe did was, he took the Beis HaKoisis, he started playing with it, he flipped it this way, that way, and he found there was blood on it, v'tarfa, and he went and he made it into a treifa. For Omar, and he said, im ein sham dam, if there was, im ein sham maka, if there was no maka, then koyret dam inayin, then how could there have been dam? Must be there was a maka, and if there was a maka, that's why he went ahead and he made it into a treifa. In other words, he told him that the story was, is that Rebbe saw blood. And because he saw blood, he understood that this hole must have been mibeis hatzadim, because the machat must have came from the outside, and it must have penetrated and created this hole, and it was for that reason he went ahead and he was tarfa. So you remember the story? The story was, Rab Safra tells Abaya, the Rab Avira came and he said, Maiso balufnei Rebbe, machat shenimtzes b'evi beis hakoisis mitzad echot v'tarfa. And Abai was very taken aback, because we know the Messiah is, if it's only Mitzad Echad, it's not a treifa. It has to be Bezat Stodim. So Abai flags down this Rav Avira. He gets to him finally, a little bit of drama. They're having this conversation rooftop, and finally, he tells him, you want to know what the story was? There was blood there. And because there was blood, the Rebbe understood that it must have been a real nekev mibezat stadim. So Amalei Sabai turned to Rav Avir. He said, Tarech tarchi lahu gavra. He said, I was so matriach to come to you because I thought I was going to hear something novel. And it turns out, masnisani, it turns out, whatever your maisa was is a mefurisha mishnah. Hemsis, ubeis hakoises, shenim cholachutz. The halach is, it's considered a treifa. And being that there's a keretam, bal karchach, the nekev was on the other side as well. There's no news here. There's no story here. I'm not even sure why I ever came. Nothla min hagar. Going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah mentioned another one of the treifas is that in the event that an animal would fall off the roof, right? So an animal fell from the gag. So we go from Rav Avira and Abaya being on the roof. Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. To now we're talking about an animal that's on the roof. And unfortunately, that story didn't end as well. But this animal was Naflam in Agag. So the halacha is, even if you don't see anything that necessarily makes us think that there's a treif over here, afilu hachi, the halacha is, we have to be chayish v'tarfas. So Naflam in Agag, in and of itself, is a reason to assume that there might be an issue of treif. Now, from here until the end of today's daf, through the beginning of tomorrow's daf, we're going to deal with this general halacha. Not to give it away, but just one spoiler alert that's going to emerge from learning the Gemara is that if an animal falls off a roof, we don't necessarily automatically assume that this animal is going to be a treifa. Oh, it fell off a roof, boom. Must be there's something wrong in one of its internal organs, and as a result, you're never going to be able to eat this animal. That's not true. The first thing we do is we take a look at how the animal responds, and we'll see. It's mefurisha halachas. If the animal gets up, what if it gets up and it walks? What if it tried to get up? What if it thought about trying to get up? A lot of permutations, as we'll see. But the bottom line is, so we look at the reaction of the animal. Another huge factor is that if 24 hours pass and this animal, as far as we're concerned, is doing okay, well, at that point, we're going to assume that whatever happened didn't really happen. And as a result, everything is going to be fine. So with that little bit of a spoiler, Zok de Heilige Gemara. Naflam in Agag, an animal falls off a roof, that's high level, a reason to be concerned. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, some interesting halachas, if somebody left his animal on the roof, uba, and then he came back, and he found it on the ground, and what'd he do? He took the elevator, he's trying to figure out how the animal came down. So even though it seems like he must have jumped, but at the same time, you don't necessarily assume that something happened to its avarim, right? Risuke avarim means that the avarim got dislodged, they got punctured, it was torn, right? You don't assume that something necessarily necessarily happened. And the reason is that even though, as far as we're concerned, the animal probably took a spring, but he probably did it in a methodical way. He probably did it in a way where he knew he wasn't going to injure himself. He had a safe, smooth landing. And as a result, even though there are things to potentially be concerned about, we're not going to be worried. Who got you? The Havalei Ravina. Ravina owned a goat. The Chaza Chushla, and one day, Ravina's goat is on the roof of the house, and he looks through the window that he has, and he sees some barley. And the barley was something that really, really tempted the goat. So there was like a skylight. He's looking down at the window. He's like, I have to get my hands on that barley. So what did he do? Dogar, he jumped. Nafam mi'igrula ara, and he fell to the ground. Asa l'kamad Rav Ashi. And after this happened, Ravina wasn't sure. Is this like a naflam in agag? It's not a naflam in agag. And he comes to his great Rebbe, his mentor Rav Ashi. And Omalei, he told him. With a whole chakim. Hadam Ravuna. This Ravuna said, when Ravuna said that if somebody leaves his animal on the roof and then he finds it on the bottom, you don't have to be chayish because we assume that the animal acted with intention, with kavana, and he did everything the way he was supposed to do it. Is it mishum de islam midilam nisrach? Is it, meaning, what's the lomdus, a chakira hayudua in this halacha? Is it because we assume that when the animal came down, it clawed its way down on the side of the wall, and as a result, it was able to make it down properly. Islay midi la misrach. La misrach means it has something to latch onto. So, miloshin sircha, right? So, it knew how to make its way down. Well, if that's the case, v'hai leslay midi la misrach. Over here, this is a free fall. He had no way to, right? There's no proverbial ladder. You can't hold on to the side of a mountain or something. So if that's the case, here you would have to be concerned. Oidilmo said Ravina, maybe that's not the lumdus of Rav Huna. But maybe what he meant was, Mishum da Amda Nafsha. An animal's not going to jump unless it assesses the situation properly, and he knows that he can do it. Well, if that's the case, fine, Nami Amda Nafsha, then you would assume this is going to be okay. Either way, Ravina comes to Rav Ashi holding a goat that just took a nosedive, and he has a whole chakira. A chakira in Rav Huna's halacha. Amalei, Rav Ashi turned to Ravina. He said, "Ah, oh, this is a pashta shayla. Mishum da amda nafsha, v'ainam le'amda nafsha." He immediately picked one of the two sides of the chakira, and he gave him the halacha. Says the Gemara, "He imra said the habibir of Chaviva." Rav Chaviva's house, they owned the sheep. They have a shadron kare basraisa. And one day, it was walking, it was schlepping its leg. Amar Rav Yemer said, "Hai shegroina nakte." I think that the reason this is happening is it could be maybe it's something's wrong with its foot, it's not feeling well, but don't necessarily assume that because it's schlepping its leg, that this means this animal has an hour to live and that it's a trefa. There's no reason to assume that. Maska for Ravina, so Ravina heard this. He said, V'domo chuta shedra ifsik. So he said, how do you know? Maybe there's something wrong with its spinal cord. Maybe something very serious happened. So the Gemara says, Batkua, they were baidik it, ashkechua k'Ravina. And Ravina mamish, kishkaga sheyotza milifnei ashalit. Right? He turned out being right. But the Gemara says, V'afilu hachi hilchaza k'Ravyeimar, even though Ravina said that, but Allah is like Rav Yehima, because Shigroin is Shchiach, right? Shigroin is Shchiach, Chut HaShedra, Lo Shchiach. But the Chut HaShedra is Lo Shchiach, and as a result, this is not something you have to worry about. You know, the Velt says, what did the hypochondriac write on his tombstone? I told you so. Right? Sometimes you get it right, but in reality, it's Lo Shchiach. This is not something that you necessarily have to worry about. Zok de Gemara, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Scharim HaMenach says, what happens if you have Scharim? So these male sheep, like rams, and they're beating each other up. So you have these rams, they're going at it, and you have to assume now that, you know, somebody tore an ACL in one of these little scuffles. So that's the question here. Said Rav Huna, no. It's interesting. It's another kula from Rav Huna in the world of treifas. The first halacha was also Rav Huna. Here too. Says Rav Huna, and even though these animals are walking around limping, they're in pain, they're schwitzing, right? then you look the look. But simra ba'amuhu danakalu, the reason they're schwitzing, they have a little bit of a fever. Yeah, their body temperature, I mean, their heart rate is pumping. But at the same time, you don't necessarily have to assume that they're dying. And says the Gemara, stating that in the event that, you know, they were playing the tackle version of this sport, if they actually were on the ground, well, at that point, if their mom is getting bulldozed by linebackers, that situation, then already there's a shayla of treifas. Look, the Gemara, Amar Ramanashi. Ramanashi said, "Hani dichri de ganvi ganavi." Another very interesting halacha. In the event that ganavim come and they steal sheep, ein choshishin mishum risukei varm. You don't have to be worried about risukei varm. So let's work on the visual here for a second. The ganav comes into the barn and he starts taking sheep. Right, he has a whole getaway car on the other side, and he starts taking sheep and he's throwing them over the fence. Another one and another one and another one. Well, these sheep are being tossed literally. So there's reason to assume that if one of these sheep land in the wrong way, you know, it might have a little risukei varm. You could see why they might need a chiropractor after this. So the question is, do you have to be chayish? Do you not have to be chayish? So Menashe said something very interesting. He said, "Ein chayish mishum risukei varm." You know why? Because kishadi lohu. So you have to be a ganav to appreciate this. But kishadi lohu, when they would throw them, amosnayu shadi lohu, they would throw them in a way where they would land in a position where they're ready to run, to fly. Right, because at some point there's going to be a chaptzim here. Remember the dog that protects all the sheep? When he finds that, he's not going to be happy. So there's going to be a situation. So they throw it in a way where it's actually going to have a safe landing. It's like this, they should be able to run. Ahadrinu, here's the interesting halacha. But what would happen if these ganavim, right after they steal, they have the hirat shuvah, and they realize, you know something, we shouldn't be doing this. What are we doing? So then they take the animals and they throw them back. Well, in that case, I gave it away a little bit. When they throw it back, we are chayish. And the reason is, no, take that whole story back. In the event that they throw it back, then we are chayish. Why are we chayish? Because when you throw it back, you're not so sensitive to what's going on. That's only if they threw it back because they heard the dogs coming, right? Guys are coming out with rifles. And you take the sheep, you throw it, you don't care about safe landings, you're worried about your own landing. And then you start running as fast as you could. Ava machmas tshuva. But if the reason they threw the animal back was machmas tshuva. Tshuva ma'al yisud avdi. We assume they did tshuva samishko. And just like when they ganved it, they threw it the right way. When they threw it back, they did it the right way. No, I'm kidding. But they're doing tshuva samishko, and as a result, for sure, there's no question, when they return it, they want to make sure they're returning it properly. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. We just said the name of Rav. Hikau Roisho. In the event that somebody hits his animal on his head, the holchala klap is nava. And this guy, when he hit it on the head, so he's not the best aim in the world. He hits it in the head, but the shtekin that he used made its way down to the zonov. So he ended up not just hitting it on the head, he ended up like hitting it along the length of the animal. So the halach is, or al znava v'holchala klapi roisha, or it happened the reverse. He was trying to hit the tail and he ended up hitting like the whole length of the animal. Neged kol ha-shedra kulo, or he hit it along the entire spinal cord. You don't have to be worried about risukei avarim. The reason is, as we'll see in a minute, even though hitting the animal in and of itself maybe would give us reason to be concerned a little bit about risukei avarim, but if you hit in a way where you distribute the force of the hit, so there's no one area that got the brunt of it, and as a result, you don't have to be concerned. That's the whole point. Hikal roishna v'holchala klapi znava. Al znava v'holchala klapi roisha. It's the distribution of the blow that tells us I don't really have to be so worried. Now, if ishalim chutra al palge de gaba, what would be in the event that the hit would be such that you hit it only on half? Chayshinon. Well, in that case, you would have to be worried. The ispa kitre, in the event that this thing that was used had knots in it. So because it had knots in it, so when you hit it, it's going to be very, very hard. Well, in that case, always chayshinon, because that's just very, very aggressive. That's cruel and unusual. And in that situation, you're always going to have yourself a problem. The machia paske, additionally, if he hit the animal, not on the length of the animal, but on the width of the animal. So again, there the blow is much more concentrated. It's like hitting it on half of the length of the animal. The width and the half of the length is, you know, sort of the same inyan. And in that case, chayshinon, again, you would have to be worried. Another aloch, Amar Rav Nachman. Beis harechem, ein boi mishum risukei avarim. A child that's born, do we have to assume that maybe this little baby, because it went through the Beis HaRechem, it went through childbirth, so maybe that caused some sort of risuke avarim? Interesting question. An animal that falls, you have to be concerned. An animal that's playing in the field, you have to be concerned. So you see that anytime an animal deals with some trauma, you have to be chayish that maybe there's risuke avarim. Okay, leida is to a degree ein lecha trauma gedoy lemizu. So you have to be concerned that in the process of the leida of the animal, maybe there was some risuke avarim. And as we have this, now you can ask me, if that's the case, how could you ever eat an animal? How could you ever eat an animal, right? You always have a problem. So the answer is 24 hours. Again, there is workarounds to this whole concept, as we're going to see on Amid Beis. But for now, high level, later, does that create this trauma that triggers risuke avarim or not? Rav Nachman told us the halacha, Beis HaRechem, Ein boy mishum risuke evarim. So the Gemara says, "Somebody Rava the Rav Nachman." So Rava told his Rebbe Rav Nachman, "He's Netanya the Messiah Eloch. I have a raya to you, a geshmak raya from a brayz. A tinoik that's one day old. Metame beziva. In the event that some ziva emerges from the body of this tinoik ben yoy mechad, so the halacha is." There's already tumaziva, meaning tumaziva doesn't require an age. A tinek ben yomechad already has tumaziva. What's the kasha gevaldik? The isol kedaitach Rava said, if you're going to tell me yesh by mishum risuke avarim, that is risuke avarim when it comes to lady ikri kam mipsar v'le machmas ayin tzoy. Why is this not a perfect example of the halacha that says mipsaroy v'le machmas ayin tzoy? So the pasuk in the parish of Zava says ish ki yeh zav mipsaroy. Chazal learned from here that the only time ziva that emanates from a body is metama if it happened naturally. But if you can attribute it to anything, you could attribute it to the fact that it wasn't well or some trauma, whatever it might have been, then the halach is it's not going to be metama. Now, if you're going to tell me that leidas yesh by mishum risuke varim, that means it's a trauma. If it's a trauma, tinek bin yoy mechad should never be able to be a zav, and it's a braisa that he is a zav. L'chur, that should be the best example of the world of mipsarav aloy machmas oinsoy. Just like you're suggesting, it might be the best example of the world of a treifa of risuke varim. And you see it's not. Oh, tanya mesayeloch, you see that even though you would think the Beis HaRechem should be an issue, but loyinu mitzampating mar says no raihach, my skin again shiyotze derech doifen. Maybe that braisa is talking about where the animal was a yotze doifen. It came out surgically. It came out not naturally through the Beis HaRechem, but rather it came out through a procedure. It was a C-section. Oh, in that situation, we're not having the conversation. The whole conversation is when it goes through the Beis HaRechem, which is somewhat unnatural, that's why we're concerned. But Enochinami, to the extent that it came out yoytze doifen, and the chenami, that would be the halacha. Tashma, another right from a brayza. Eagle shenoyle biyantiv, an eagle, not a beitza shenoyle biyantiv, but an eagle shenoyle biyantiv. Sheikh denoisai, the halacha is you're allowed to shechted biyantiv on yantiv. Now this is a muktza sugya, but you see mefurish. Eagle shenoyle biyantiv, sheikh denoisai biyantiv. That means you're shechting it that day. That means you don't have to wait 24 hours. So you see mefurish is no halacha of meis leis, which means that when an animal is delivered, there's no chashash of risuke avarim. The Gemara says, "Hachinami kigon sheyotze derech doifen." It's talking about where it wasn't a natural delivery, but rather it was a yotze doifen. Being that it was a yotze doifen, in that situation, you obviously don't have to worry. The Gemara says, "Tashma, I have another raya. Also a geshmak raya. Veshoven." Everybody agrees. Shem noilad hu mumo imoy. In the event that an animal is born together with its mum, shezem enamuchen, it's considered enamuchen. So the context over here is bechayros, and we know a bechayr has to go to the kayin, right? Bechayr animal has to go to a kayin. What does the kayin do with it? It depends. In the event that it's a perfect the animal, then the halach is he has to be makrib it as a carbon. If it has a mum, so then it's something that he's allowed to eat. It's literally as if it's chulin. What happens if an animal develops a mum on yontif? Developed a mum on yontif. So that's a machlekes. Whether or not the kohen would be allowed to eat it or not. What's the shaila? Do we look at it as mukta? Betchilas yontif, it was not something that you could eat on yontif because it's a kachim. It's not a carbon that's toichi yontif, and as a result, you aren't going to be able to eat it. Now that it developed a mum, so now it's technically ein ben shabbos li yontif elo eichel nefesh bovad. It's eichel nefesh. It should be okay. That's a shaila. So the braisa picks up and says v'shoven those two bali plukta that argued regarding a bechor that develops a mum on yontif whether you could eat it or not. They agree that if the bechor was noilad, if it was noilat together with the mum, shazemina muchan, that the halach is, it's muchan, you'd be allowed to eat it. What's the kasha? Another tashma. How could you tell me that if the animal was born with its mum on yontif, eat it. I can't eat it anyways. Because if it was born on Yontif, so I have a problem of Risa Gevorim. I have to wait 24 hours to make sure that it's not going to be an issue over here. And the Gemara says, Techitem, you'll tell me, Hachen Amish Yasa Derech Doifin. This is the third time we asked this Kasha. We asked this Kasha about the Tinik Ben Yomecha that's Mentamen Beziva. We asked it regarding the Egel Shanoivet Beyontif. So good, I'll tell you the same thing. It was born Yotze Doifin. But you can't say that. You know why? Because Derech Doifin, Mi Kaddish, then it wouldn't have Kedushas Bechar. Because V'ha'am Rabbi Yechanan said, Moida Hay Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon was Moida. Le'inyin Kachim, as it relates to Kachim, She'enai Kaddish. There's no Kedusha to a Bechar that was born Yotze Doifin. So obviously it wasn't Yotze Doifin, but the Gemara says you have to say a new Teretz Hachmayaskinon. This price is talking about Shehifris Al Gabi Karka. It's talking about where right after the animal was born, it clawed its feet into the karka. If an animal does that, that's also a sign of life and a vibrancy. And in that case, you don't even have to wait 24 hours. At that case, you know for sure that it is going to be. Oh, okay. So very geschmack. Rav Nachman said a halacha. His halacha was beis harechem im by mishum risuke evarim. And the Gemara did what it always does. A few tashmas. It's a beautiful example of how the entire Torah just all interconnects. We're dealing with the Beis HaRechem of Ein Bay Mishum Rizuki Yavarim, and we shtelt to the laws of Ziva, the laws of Mukta, the laws of Kedushas Bechar. But the bottom line is, what emerged was is that Rav Nachman holds Beis HaRechem is Ein Bay Mishum Rizuki Yavarim. His whole chiddush even was in the event that it went through the Beis HaRechem, but if it was a Yotze Doifin, it wouldn't have even been a Shaila. And another thing that emerged is that in the event it was Hifres Agabe Karaka, that's like Gar Pashat. The whole chiddush of Beis HaRechem, Ein Bay Mishum Risuke Evarim, is that there's no cheshbin at all. So, like, why would I assume that this animal might be a trefa? Oh, because it was born? That's considered natural, meaning as much as it's a difficult procedure for the animal, but lamaisa, this is the way it is. And as a result, this is not something that we would do. Another halacha Rav Nachman said, very much me'inyan le'inyabayis inyan. Beis ha-mitbachayim, eibam yishum risuke eivar. So the background to this is that the sheikhtim, before they shecht an animal, they would take the animal, they would knock it to the ground. They would, quote unquote, fell the animal. So they would knock it down to the ground. And Rav Nachman said that when they do that, that in of itself doesn't make risuke evar, right? That would be a shod. That mamash, a second before you're about to shach the animal, you chuck the animal, now all of a sudden you have to wait 24 hours, right? So, beis hamitbachayim, ein bay mishum risuke evar, says the Gemara Astoria. Who threw it in afal? There was once a shor that fell in the Beis HaMitbachayim, v'shtame kol negichusei, and it made a very, very loud noise. Oh, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, shakal mishufri shufri. He came in, he says, I'm not worried, and he took mishufri shufri. He said, you give me the finest cut of this animal, I'm going to eat it. Amalei Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon told him, inalacha, how do you know this? Amalahu, so he told him, hachi am a Rav, I was mekabel this from Rav. Tziporn of noyetz atcha magil aretz. That when an animal is about to be slaughtered, it anticipates what's going on. And what it does is it claws its toenails, its feet and fingernails into the ground, and it tries to not get pushed in such a dramatic way. Because it has some control over its body at that point, so even if it falls, it's not this terrible fall, and as a result, it doesn't become a treifa. The only time it'd be a treifa is if it's this reckless fall. But being that part of noyetz achem agil aretz, so it's somewhat in control as it's falling, it's for that reason there's no wish. Om Rav Yudah Marav. Om da ina tzrich meisleis. If an animal falls, Mishnah says, it's a treifa. We already gave away the fact that it's meisleis. Here the Gemara says it's meforish. But you should know, if it stands up, it ain't a tzricha meisleis. You don't even need the 24 hours, it's going to be okay. Bedika, stating that, to do a bedika, some sort of examination, to make sure that nothing is out of place, that you would need. So you don't have to wait 24 hours, you can do the bedika right away, but you're going to have to do a bedika. Holcha, let's say it didn't just get up, but it literally picked itself up and it started walking. And it's tricha, they don't even need a b'dikah. Chibar Ashi Amar, Chibar Ashi said, achazu v'achazu tricha b'dikah. It doesn't matter if it only got up and didn't walk, or if it got up and walked, even where it got up and walked, tricha b'dikah. Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Acha Amar Rav, pashta yad alamoy. If it stretched its hand out to get up, afal pishal oy amda, even if the pile didn't get up, at that point, it doesn't need me'eslais. Meaning, when we say amda, you don't even have to be amda. As long as you're pashta yad, it's going to be fine. Akra ragla lahalich, same is true as it relates to walking. If it stretched or lifted its leg to walk, obviously holcha. Even if it didn't walk, then it's gonna be mutter. And whatever the halacha of holcha is, In a tzricha bedika, according to that mandama, you won't even need a bedika. Rav Chizda said, Niyar olamoy. Even if it just moved itself to get up, even if it didn't stand, and here's the chiddush, even if it wasn't pashta, even then it's going to be okay. So Rav Yehuda bar Rav said, Amda. Rav Yirmiyah bar Acha said in the name of Rav, even pashta is the equivalent of amda. Rav Chizda took it a step further. He said, even if it's niyara, so niyara, just like it chuckled a little bit. Pashta means it actually stretched out its hand. Amda means it physically got up. But even if it's niyara in the world of Rav Chizda, that in of itself is going to be okay. A little more gemara. Amar Amemah, we skipped the parentheses. Mishmeid Rav Dimi Menarda. Amemah said in the name of Rav Dimi Menarda, Nefula Sha'amru. When we say that a nefula sometimes needs bedika, so the halach is what kind of bedika does it need? Sricha bedika kineged b'nei me'ayin. You have to check the b'nei me'ayin area. So that's the area. It's in the intestinal area. Amalei marzutra. Hachar mina mishmeid rapapa. I'll tell you what they say in the name of rapapa. Sricha bedika kineged base hachalol kulay. No, you have to check the entire animal. It's not enough that you only check the b'nei me'ayin. Amalei huna mar bereid rab nechemya. Lirav Ashi. Simonim, do you have to check the simonim as well? Like, do you have to make sure that the Kan and the Veshet were in place? Amalei simonim kashen in Eitzel Nefila. No, the simonim are protected, Kenege Nefila, as much as you have to check the whole Cholol, but in terms of checking the simonim, that's already something you don't have to check. The next Gemara is going to pivot, and it's going to talk about birds that fall. So till now, we're talking about behemoths that fall with all the halachas. The next Gemara is going to talk about birds. It's going to take us knee-deep into tomorrow's daf. So we are going to stop here. So Baruch Hashem, another intense week of Daf Yoimi. But just to end with two very light ha'aras. The first ha'ara is, yesterday, we spoke a little bit about the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim that tells the loisase of treifa. Va'anshei kodesh tiyun li, u'basar basada treifa loisai chelu, la'kelev tashlicho noisai. The Iker point of the pasuk is ubasa basada treifa loisachel, which is the backdrop to perikelu treifas. The Torah prefaces the lav with the words va'anshei kodesh tionli. Additionally, the Torah tells you what exactly you're supposed to do with the treifa. What you do with it is la'kelav tashlicha noisla. And yesterday, Zrei, we talked a little bit about what's this akdama of va'anshei kodesh tionli, and we related it to the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that says ki am kodesh atah la'Hashem Elokecha, in the pasuk that talks about the nevela and says that the nevela is not something you're allowed to eat, but you're supposed to give it to the ger or you sell it to the nachri. Additionally, the psukim in the end of Parshas Kedoshim and Parshas Shmini that talk about how kedoshim tiyu is an inyan that governs very much Machalos Asuras. So whenever you find Machalos Asuras, it comes together with this idea of Va'anshei Kodesh Tionli. We spoke out the Chassam Sofer's Kasha, that why do you have to take the Basa Basa, the Treifa, and give it to the Kelev as if some last resort because you have nothing to do with it? Why can't you be Mevatel it? Be mevatel it, and once you be mevatel, at that point you'll be allowed to eat it. You'll tell me, "Ei mevatel nisal lechatchila." That's only nisat rabbanon. And the Chassam Sofer was mechadish that you see from here that even though "Ei mevatel nisal lechatchila" in sugis hashas is nisat rabbanon, that's when there's a taruvas lach belach where the davar aser is literally bottle. But to the extent that the davar aser is be'end, it's going to be a taruvas yavish be'yavish kuli alma moidi that "Ei ma'arvin." That a mevatlin iser lechatchila is going to be an iser de oiraisa. And the raya is literally from this pasuk. We mentioned that this chiddush states in the Noida Yehuda, but the bottom line is that was one horror that we spoke about. Another horror we mentioned is why can't you give it to a katan? And don't tell me chinuch, because chinuch is a derabanan. And katan oichol neveilois bezdin is not mitzvah le hafrishai. You'll tell me loisachilam. So hotenach if loisachilam is true for all isurim, but achrayim have a chakira that it could be. It's only negated the three isurim that I mentioned mefurish in the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. And treif is not one of them. Nevela is not one of them. So why is it when it comes to treif lekelef tashlichan? I said, what is it when it comes to the nevela? You give it to the ger or you give it to the nachri. Why can't you just go ahead and be mevatel it? We spoke out that it and give it to the katan. So we mentioned that it could be the Kedusha Kodesh Tiyun Li, it's related to the Timtum Alev, the Kedusha, and there's an element of Timtum Alev that you have even when there's a Bittul, right? That's the Isuv HaHeter that the Pesachei Teshuva brings us in Kuf Tezayin, and even though the Soilus L'mincha B'Shem, the Torah Sa'asham says, nah, but we mentioned from the Chidah, that Mitzad Kadesh Atzbach HaMutluch, in the world of Kedusha Yisayru, so V'Anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li is not only why we Basad HaTrefa Lo Yisachelu, but it's also why LaKelev Tashlichana. That's just a little bit of Chazara of what we spoke about in yesterday's daf. But I saw, just going through some of the Rishonim on this pasuk, V'Anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li, something that made me stop in my tracks. And that is in the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel, who Kedarke Bakodesh is being mefarish the psukim al pi pshutei shel mikra. It's been a while since we did Chumash here, or even the Haggadah Shiurim, which featured the Abarbanel very prominently. But the Abarbanel on this pasuk says as follows: Ve'efsher sheyia hamaymer hazeh kimashmoy. It could be this pasuk va'anchei kodesh tiyun li ubasav asal the treif aloysay chelut lakelov tashlichan aloysay is meant to be taken kimashmoy. Very, very literally. The year in Yonah, and the Indian is as follows. Shelo Yehu Perutzim Lechel HaTrefois Shenitrefu Basada. That you shouldn't be reckless and just eat the trefois that were trampled in the field. Kedarke Hagoyim Nichbedeyim Visarehem. Which was the custom of the Eni Yehudim. Their Nichbedeyim, their nobles, Visarehem, and their ministers, Sheyelchu Lotzitzai Batsada. They would go hunting. And when they would go hunting, they would bring their dog together with them. And they would hunt, and the dog would hunt. And whatever they would catch, they themselves, the noble people, would eat. So it's for that reason the Torah said, that you should be kedoshim, says the Torah. Ki yelchud lo tzutzayid, because in the event that you're going to decide, you, the anshei kodesh, you want to go hunting, lis ales ulihitayel, ki mishpat ha-nechpadim ha-sheh ba-aretz eimu. You're going to do exactly what the nechpadim will do. That's fine. Aval ha-bosa sheh besodo be-eis ha-tzayid yitrufu ha-klovim vi-arku. But in the event that you're going to go and you're going to catch animals through the klovim, I mean the klovim are going to be the ones that are going to catch, lo yoichlu ha-kedoshim atzmon, the kedoshim, you shouldn't eat it, aval yitnu le-kalbeim, the dog should go ahead and eat it. So it seems that there was this old custom that people would go out and they would hunt. And when they would hunt, they would go together with the dogs. They would catch, the dogs would catch, and they would eat everything. It didn't matter if they caught it or if the dogs caught it. Zokta barbenel v'anshei kodesh tiyun li. You shouldn't do that. So that when you go hunting with your dogs, if the dog catches it, lakelov tashlichan oisei, he should eat it, you should not eat it. So the ubasa basa the treifa while you're hunting, how did it become a treifa? From the dog? The dog is what tore it apart? Let the dog eat what it tore apart, because that's already a bechin of anshei kodesh. The Abarbanel seems to be saying that it's okay to go hunting. In fact, the Torah is talking to the hunter. And by the way, you know what we're describing the hunter as? V'anshei kodesh tiyuli. So when you hunt, do it like anshei kodesh. Don't do it like regular nichpadim and sarim. Your hunting should be different. Shlo yehei ha hunting shall kodesh ka hunting shall chayil. That's what we're saying over here. The anshei kodesh tiyuli, and that's the way that you should go out and you should do the hunting. And l'may nafkim, you know, in the event that the kelev is going to go ahead and he's going to chop something, so they would say, oh, perfect, dog works for me, thank you for lunch, thank you for dinner. No, if the kelev is the one that created and caused the ubasa basa the treif lo yisachelu, in that situation, like kelev tashlichan oisai. What's the Maror Makim? Of course, the Maror Makim is the Noida B'Yehuda. Shailas Shuv is Noida B'Yehuda, Yerideya, Madura Tinyana, Simen Yod, where this fellow sends the Shaila to the Noida B'Yehuda. Remember his name? Gumfricht Oppenheim. So Gumfricht Oppenheim sends his Shaila to Noida B'Yehuda. He's this very, very wealthy person, and he owns acres and acres of land, and he likes to go hunting sometimes. And he asked him from a halachic perspective, Tzar Bali Chayim, and Ushmartim Oibla Nafshe Seichem, Bal Tashchis, all the different Shailas. But then the Noida B'Yehuda tells him, Ma'amna Ma'oida Ni Tamei Al Guf HaDavar, V'loi Matzinu Ish Tzayid Rak B'Nimroid U'Be'esav, Ve'ein Zedarki B'nei Avram Yitzchak V'Yakev. This is his famous line that he tells him. It's an often Abarbanel. That Abarbanel says, "Anshei kodesh tiyuli, you can hunt, but you have to do it differently. You don't hunt the way the people that are not kodeshim hunt." Again, this is fascinating. This Noida B'Yehuda is the gift that keeps on giving. This is the first very light ha'ara. The second light ha'ara is, so the Gemara told a story in today's daf. A few stories. But one a little longer than the others. I'm going to Rav Safra Labai. Rav Safra told Abai, Chazim mar haitzum rabon and asmi harav. It's a Yid that came from Eretz Yisrael. V'amar, he said, Rav Avira Shmeini. He said, my name is Rav Avira. V'amar, he said, my said, there was a story. U'bolifnei Rebbe, machat shenimtzes b'evi b'es ha'koiz b'tzad echad. At least that's the way the story was presented initially, where somebody brought a animal, beis hakoisos, there was a machat that was there on one side, and Rebbe said it's a treifa. And when Abaye heard this, he says, what? I thought only if it's on two sides, not if it's on one side. And Abaye goes to great lengths, literally, to track down Rabbi Avira, and he asks Rabbi Avira, tell me exactly how did the story go down? He tells him the rest of the story, and then Abaye chab. For this, Tarach Tarche Lahu Gavra Masnisene. This story that I was told is not really the way it happened, and you know, I regret, I'm Toyal Arishoinis, why I even went to go and track you down, because really there was nothing newsworthy over here. This whole story was really a Mefurash Mishnah. So when Rav Safra tells the story initially to Abaya, he tells him, Chazim mar haitzum rabbanon, da asim imar rav. Of Omar, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, we asked him his name, he said, Rav Avira Shmeini. My name is Rav Avira. Rav Ruvim Margolis, like only Rav Ruvim Margolis could, asks Akasha on this Gemara. Akasha from a Gemara in Mesechtes Pesachim, daf pei vav amibes. The Gemara says, Rav Huna Breda Rav Nosson, ikla lebei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Rav Huna Breda Rav Nosson once came, he was a guest by Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So the people in Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak's house turned to Rav Huna Breda Rav Nosson and they asked him, Mashmach, what's your name? Amalu, so he told them, Rav Huna, my name is Rav Huna. Amru, so they said, Nesem Marapurya, so can you please sit down? Yosef, he sat down. Yovale Kasa, they gave him a glass of wine. This was old school. Kabla B'chad Zimna, soon as they offered him the wine, he took it. Meaning he didn't say, nah, it's okay, I don't need it. Oh, you want me to take it? No problem. No. He took it right away. And when he took the wine, he didn't twirl it. And, no, he just took it in two gulps. He drank the entire cup of wine. Not just that, there's a certain minig of tznius that when you drink wine, you know, you go a little to the side and you know, you drink it. No, it's not what he did. Amrule, they turned to him and they said, my time of karus lach Rav Huna. You know, I asked you your name. You tell me your name is Rav Huna. I mean, your name is Huna. Who talks about themselves that way? Amalusa Rav Huna, I'll be honest with you. Bala Sheimani. Rashni says, Mikatnusi kach kairali Rav Huna. They used to call me Rav Huna since I'm young. And you asked me, my name, I know, since I'm a little boy, I'm known as Rav Huna, and it's for that reason, that's what I told him. And then they, Gemara says, they asked him all these different minhagim that he did, that the Gemara thinks was a little bit mechudishtik, and that's the whole sugya that's going on over there. But here we have a Gemara, where Rav Huna walks into Rav Nachman by Yitzchak's house, what's your name? And he says, my name is Rav Huna. And they're very taken aback. Rav Huna? You call yourself Huna. That's Gaifa, right? Why would you call yourself Rav Huna? And he responded. His response was that, you know, since I'm young, they used to refer to me as Rav Huna. So I don't know, since I'm a little kid, this is always the way they called me. Well, if that's the case, how come when this Subram Rabbanan, whose name was Rav Avira, came to Rav Safra, and they asked him, what's your name? He said, Rav Avira Shmeini. How come they didn't ask him? Rav Avira, call yourself Avira. That's Rav Ruvim Margolis' Zahara. In Psochem Peivavim Beis, when Rav Huna said that my name is Rav Huna, everybody was very taken aback. Why are you calling yourself Rav Huna? No one talks that way. If that's the case, why is it that when Rav Avira said that my name is Rav Avira, they didn't call him out for the same thing? So Rav Ruvim Margolis, the Teretz is Pashat. What did Rav Avira say? He said, Rav Avira Shmeini. That was what he said. Chazim mar haitzum rabbanon da'asem imar rava va'amar Rav Avira Shmeini. My name is Rav Avira. The whole lashon is a little bit funny. My name is Rav Avira. They asked him his name. He said, Avira. Rav Avira Shmeini. He said, the Teretz is, what he was trying to say was, is that my name is not Avira. Oh, but I prefer to be referred to, I prefer the moniker as Rav Avira. What he was saying is, my name is Rav Avira. Like this Chaim Yankel, I'm Rav, my first name. Avira is my second name. When Rav Huna was asked his name, Rav Huna said, Rav Huna. He didn't say Rav Huna Shmeini, das is my nomen, and that's why they were very taken aback. Rav Huna, no one talks this way. And what was his response? His response was that, no, this is always the way I've been known. In fact, Rashi mutches a little bit. Rashi says that, what does it mean this is always? Mikatnusi kach koirin li Rav Huna. It could be what he was saying was, no, my name is not Huna. and I like referring to myself as Rabbi. My name is Rav Huna. But the reason they asked him was, is because when they said Mashmach, he simply said Rav Huna. But when the Rabbi Avira said Rabbi Avira Shmeini, they understood that Hisafa was coming to say that my name is actually Rabbi Avira. But here's the point. The point is that Rabbi Avira's name is not Avira, but he prefers the title Rav. His name is Rav Avira. Why did Rabbi Reuven Margol say this? What's his objective? So it's mentioned Bekitzer right here in the Tzutzayar. It's mentioned very much, not Bekitzer, in a Sefer L'Cheker Shemus V'Kinuyim, and it's under the Mechkar called Baal Du Shem. So we've mentioned many times over the years, the Chassam Sofer and the Nedib Yehuda, they were both very Meirich, the Nachas Shiva, and they talk about how once upon a time nobody had two names. This is one of the most brilliant Mechkarim in the whole lexicon of Torah from the great guy in Rabbi Margolis. But he says that they all said that you don't find anywhere that anybody had to. Even the Zman of the Rishonim, you couldn't find people that had today. Everybody has two names, three names, four names. But once upon a time, he said nobody had two names. Instead, Rabbi Margolis, he goes through nuanced ways where he believes he found people with two names. It's not obvious. It's not, what's your name, Rav Chisda Papa. That'd be easy. But no. Things that you would never think. And this Gemara right here, Chulin and Aleph Amin Aleph, in the world of Rav Reuven Margolis, was a person that had two names. What are the two names? Rav is one name, and Avira is the other name. That's Rav Avira Shmeini. The Hot Riot, they didn't call him out on it the way they did to Rav Reuven in the Gemara, Pesach and Pei Vavim. This is classic Rav Reuven Margolis. And Rav Reuven Margolis says, it's always a punchline, right? He says, I'll prove to you that I'm right. This is mamish epic. So subtle, but again, classic, right? We do this a lot. This is classic. He says, we know, everybody knows this. Anyone that's ever learned Gemara knows this. That in Bavel, someone that got smicha, they used to refer to as Rav. And in Eretz Yisrael, if somebody had smicha, they would always refer to him as Rebbe. Right, there's a Rashi in Ksuba somewhere that talks about Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira and Rebbe Zeira. So Rashi, Rav Zeira was from Bavel, because in Bavel, everyone's a Rav. And Rebbe Zeira is from Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael, everybody's a Rebbe. Who is this person? Amalei Rav Safra Labayo, Chazimar. He came from Eretz Yisrael. So if he came from Eretz Yisrael, why is he Rav Avira? He should be Rebbe Avira. The Teretz is, that was his name, Rav Avira Shmeini. And he goes in the footnote, Rav Reuven Margolis says that it could be with this, he could be Miyashiv, he says, because there are other examples where you find some of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael were referred to as Rav, and he says, Miyodeya, he's thinking out loud, Miyodeya, if all those Ravs are talking about Ravs, and it's not a kasha on Rashi's klal, that every single time you find Rav, it's Baal Korchak Bavel, and when you find Rebbe, it's from Eretz Yisrael. It could be in those cases also, these are Balei Dushem. These are people with two names, and that's why it's Rav, because Rav is actually the Erishtanah. Now, where did we speak about this recently? We just spoke about the name Rav. We spoke about it in the Machlikas Rashi and Tosis that we had not so long ago, where Shmuel used to refer to Rav as Abba. And the Shaila is, why do you refer to him as Abba? Rashi says he used to refer to him as Abba Milosh and Kovet. Tosis says he used to refer to him as Abba, that was his name, Abba Aricha. And the question is that according to Tosis, so Rav's real name is Abba. Now, why is he known as Rav? Rav Mishalkol B'nei Agoylo. But according to Rashi, that he was referred to as Abba Milosh and Kovet, and presumably Rav Milosh and Kovet. Well, if that's the case, what's his name? It's like Reuven Margolis. You know what I think his name is? I think his name is really Rav. I think his name is Rav. I think that's his name. I actually think his name is Rav. And Hagabatzmacha, if his name is not Rav, and they're calling him Rav because he's Rav Mishal Kol B'nei Agoylo, so Shmuel, when he wants to be Mechabed him, he downgrades him, and instead of calling him Rav, he calls him Abba. It doesn't make any sense. Elamai, his name was Rav. Now, where do you find, Snok Rav Reuven Margolis, anyone whose name was Rav? So at the time, we mentioned four examples. We mentioned Rav Bar Shaba. We mentioned Rav Acha Bar Rav. We mentioned Rami Bar Rav, right? We mentioned a few different places where you find the name Rav. Here's another Rav. Rav Avira Shmeini. It's one of two names. His first name was Rav. His second name was Avira. The bottom line is, this is classic Rav Reuven Margolis. And where is he coming to this Mechates? His name was probably Rav Avira. No, because if his name is probably Avira and he's calling himself Rav because I'm known as Rav Mishal Kol B'nei Agoylo, B'nan Shal Gadoyishim. Call me Rav Avira. That's the case. How come the Gemara didn't ask the same kasha on Rav Avira that they asked to Rav Huna in a Mefurish Gemara, Masechtas Pesachim, Pei Vav and Beis? It's interesting. In one of the footnotes here, Rav Reuven Margolis says that it's Yitachin, that the reason people would give their child the name Rav was because, you know, they were hoping, it was like a tefillah, They wanted that this child should grow up and should be zoicha to become a rav. He says, Moshe l'mah davadoyma, you find in the Gemara the name Keshisha, Mar Keshisha. Keshisha, Rabbi Reuven Margolis says, was a name. What does Keshisha mean? It means old, right? It means old. Mar Zutra, Mar Keshisha. But he says, Keshisha was old. People used to give the name Keshisha. It's one of his theories. That's a real name. It's a Shem Ha'etzem. Where do you even find something like that? So he says, what do you mean? In Yiddish, people today give the name Alter. Right, what's the name Alter? Alter means you should be Zoicha to be Marech Yom and Vishanim. So you see there's a name called Alter. That name Alter has its roots in the Gemara already, he says. You find the name Keshisha. He says, I'm going to tell you one other one. I'll tell you one other one. And that is the name Bachya. The name Bachya, that's a Sephardic name. And who is Bachya? So there's two Rabbeinu Bachyas, right? Rabbeinu Bachaya, Bachya. I know everybody gets excited when you say Bachya or Bachaya. If you say Bachya, all the Bachaya chevra get excited. And if you say Bachaya, you don't know it's Bachya. It's a shayl. So the bottom line is Rabbeinu Bachya. It was the Baal Chavis Avavis is Rabbeinu Bachya. And of course, Rabbeinu Bachya, the Rabbeinu Bachya. See, he says that there's a lot, the academics are like very mesupik. No one really knows Rabbeinu Bachaya, Rabbeinu Bachya, Allah Torah is. He says he's heard a lot of on this. So I'll just tell you, I'll read to you one last excerpt. But Ilulus biography is Shali. Okay, so some biography work. It was never a real name. That you should be Zoicha Tarichas Yomim, like Alter. So Rabbeinu Bachya is like saying Rab Alter. It's a very, very similar concept. That's the idea. For Rabbeinu Bachya, Hanoide Besifrei Alatera. The famous Rabbeinu Bachya, who wrote his Pirush HaLatayr, and who wrote the Kadakemach, right? It's the same author, Rabbi Yehuda HaYishmai. You should know his name was Rabbi Yehuda, his name was Bachya. His name was Rabbi Yehuda. Ubekulfin, Beksav Yad, Mefurish, Besoif Sefer Kad HaKemach. He said that he found that in the end of the Sefer Kadakemach, now this Kadakemach, he found in a Ksav Yad, I'm going to try to read this, it's Les Manuscriptos Hebreo, La Real Biblioteca Madrid. So he said he found this. It's Rabbi Margolis, right? So he saw it once, and obviously it was stored away somewhere. But the bottom line is, this came from some Hebreo biblioteca in Madrid, Spain, and he finds there in this library a ksaviat of the original Kadakemach. Amazing. And this is what it says at the end. Bekan Nishlam Kadakemach Ashachiber Harav Rabbi Yehuda Ben Harab Osher Hamechuna Rabbi Bachya, who's known as Rabbi Bachya. But either way, he says he found it beforeish in a library in Madrid, Spain. The bottom line is Bachi says the young thing was a shame at him, but it was like a kinoi of the schoolie. Rav was also a kinoi. So I don't know, does it mean that at the bris it was Yikarish might be Yisrael? Bachi doesn't sound like Rabbeinu Bachya. Alter is a name you give at a bris. Rav, I think also a name you give at a bris, but he goes off on a little bit of a tangent and he talks about different names that you find that people used to give. Pasha Beloshin Skuli, Rav, Bachya, Alter, Barash Negelin, Yonenu. The name Rav is a little bit tricky. You have Rav as in Rav, and sometimes Rav could be a Shem Ha'etzem, and a Chaps. Fascinating nafkaminas. Number one, could be that was the name of the great Amora Rav, just like Shmuel's name was Shmuel, Rav's name was Rav. It could be, if that's the case, you're going to have people that had two names. With the Chassam Soivin Abidu said, no one ever had two names. Well, if Rav could be a Shema Etzem, Rav Avira could be two names. Anyone who has the preface of Rav, you might have to ask yourself, maybe his first name is really Rav. And it would also be Miyashiv, the cloud that every child knows, that's a Rashi in Ksubas, that Rav is from Bavel and Rebbe is from Eretz Yisrael. I am all, you find someone that comes from Eretz Yisrael, like Rav Avira, and you find that he's referred to as a Rav, the Teretz is, he's not being referred to Rav as some sort of Lashon of Chashivos. He's being referred to as Rav because his name is Rav. So the Yisoid is that Rav could be a Shema Etzem, and once you know that, there's a lot of Mechkarim that can flow from there. Ayin Heitev in the Sfarim of Rav Reuven Margolis. This is very much Divrei Pi Chacham Chein. The Ru'uyin Hadvarim, the Misha Amram.